It's been some time ago. We've had a couple things that have happened service-wise since the last time that we touched on our afternoon subject on Sunday afternoon. So we're considering about teachers, deacons, preachers, and pastors, the ministers of our Lord in His church. And so we refer back to Ephesians chapter 4, where it tells us that these are gifts from the Lord unto the church for the purpose of the building up of the church, for the maturing of the membership, that we might grow up into our Lord and that we might be representative of Him, grow in Him, and be fashioned to the image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord has a provision for us, indeed, in every way. We took a look at that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, the gift of our Lord to His church. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we took a look at the ministry of the apostles. And then on our next consideration, the following Sunday or so, we took a look that, yes, sadly, some must be marked. There must be men, there are men that must be marked and avoided, ministers of such. And then tonight, or this afternoon, we want to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's interesting how 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostle touches with this church in Corinth, there in Greece, about the ministry of the apostles. And I think that that's evidenced here as we go through this chapter. Our ultimate goal is to get to the epistles that are by the apostle to Brother Timothy and Brother Titus and to us here today. Brother Jim, I'm not going to ever be called to be a pastor or preach. And the ladies, our sisters, can say that. That's true, you won't be. But you may be involved in the selection of a pastor. And so you need to know what the ministry is all about. You need to know what the qualifications are. Brethren, if you're qualified, you meet those qualifications, it could be that the Lord would call you to His ministry. And of course, in regards to, we have those positions of teachers, which are positions that are determined by the church and sanctioned and approved and watched over by the church that are not ordained. They're not ordained of the church. But we do have deacons and sometimes preachers and certainly pastors that will be ordained. And so we must know about these things as part and parcel of the necessity that we have to know what the Scripture says about such. It's sad when a church comes into a position that she doesn't have within the membership. And if you've never been around or seen such a thing or know of such a thing happen, it has happened that there would be those there, members of the church, that they just don't know what to do about looking to find a pastor. They don't know what the qualifications are, what the need is, what the ministry is all about. And so it's incumbent on us as members of our Lord's church to know about these things, and our Lord has given it to us in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 1, therefore, based on these things that he has talked to them about in these early chapters in 2 Corinthians, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Our brother declares here that we have received this ministry, have this ministry, and he said to be able to accomplish it, we need the mercy of the Lord. And indeed, we do. It's the only way that we can serve. It's the only way that we can overcome the flesh and the things of the world. He said, because of that, we faint not, but have renounced, verse number 2, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I'm gonna tell on Clarissa here a little bit. Clarissa has always had a nervousness about salesmen, and I worked in industry for some years, and then it turned out that it seemed the Lord led me to this man that was a machine tool salesman. He's the fellow that I worked for before I came here as pastor. And so I began to work for Mr. Bogart and learning how all that worked. And it was parallel to what I'd done, but different. And so Clarissa's at a Pampered Chef party or a gathering of women and whatever. Or no, she's at the doctor's office, something like that. And they ask the husband's name and they ask his occupation. and it dawns on her, salesman. That's the way we joke about you. He's a salesman. So you know, salesmen do have a reputation of not doing well and not being honest, of being crafty. And you know, I purposed in going into that work that was industry related, but the selling of equipment, that I would honor my Lord in that and not follow anything. I was blessed to work for a fella that didn't take up with those dishonest ways. Well, in the ministry, we need to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. You know, there are those that claim to be ministers of the Lord that do work in a dishonest way. There are those that think and believe that there's kind of this thing of suckering people into salvation, of kind of lassoing them. I despise, as I get older, I despise this reference to people that would come and visit a church as candidates. They're candidates for membership. They're potential. Of course, if the Lord wants them here, we want them here. We have a desire for the good thing of the Lord in their life, but they're not just a number. They're a soul with the leadership of the Lord. And so these are the things that I think of in this. He says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not being crafty. I think we can be wise in the Word of God. I think we can be cunning and understanding and have wisdom in the Word of God, but we're not to be crafty. Not to be crafty, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. What's it say? But by manifestation, the showing forth of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And that's what we do. From the standpoint of our ministry, as the ministers of the Lord, as the witness of the Lord, as people, we do commit ourselves to the consciences of men. Men, women, boys, and girls. We appeal to them about the truth of God and His Word and tell them in words the truth, the warning of the judgment of God coming, the necessity, the condemnation upon them because of their sin, the coming of judgment, and the salvation that is available in Jesus Christ. We do that with words and we show it with our lives, or supposed to be. Well, we're manifest, he says, by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We walk before the Lord. Lord, help us if we are operating in trickery for the kingdom of God. The Lord's watching. The Lord doesn't want that kind of thing. He's never ordained that kind of thing. It won't be found in His Word at all. Not by gimmicks, not by tricks, not by appealing to the flesh, but by telling the good Word of God. He goes on to say, but if our gospel be hid, of course it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but isn't it yours too? It is. We've received it. We believe and trust it. We rest in it. We walk in it, as it tells us, as a brother wrote to this church in 1 Corinthians 15. It's that gospel by which we are saved. If we keep in memory those things and have not believed in vain. He says, but if our gospel that we are rescued by and that we are living in, if it be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. A Bible term, the lost. They have no spiritual compass. They indeed, as our brother Fayard would tell us, they are adrift on life's eternal seas. Oh yeah, life's eternal. There's a little bit of time that's lived here, and there's a long life that's lived in eternity. And they are lost. He says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Which is coming first? It's in there working together. The lost, those that are separated from Christ, the god of this world, Satan, is doing a blinding work. You remember the parable of the types of ground? The seed goes over there on the hard-packed road, on the wayside, and Satan comes in and gobbles it up, takes it away before it can be opened up to them and revealed and they would believe. He's blinding the minds of them which believe not in Christ. Just don't see the necessity. Don't see that there's that religion thing. I just don't need that. I'm okay the way I am. I'm good, they would say. we said, before the Lord saved us, and whom the God of this world had blinded the minds, blinded their mind, their even their thinking. Romans chapter 1 tells about those that look to find God and make him like unto man and like a beast, and then are given over in fornication and then sensuality and just terrible wicked things, a threefold giving up of the Lord. And it says that they come, they're reprobate in their minds. The Lord gives them up to a reprobate mind. Anything that they think is foul and against the way of the Lord. And whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not in Christ, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, that's how God is put forward to us, is in Christ. That Christ, if you will, is the point man, so to speak. I don't mean that in any disrespect, but he's the one that we see the Lord in and through. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. He said, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded minds, blinded eyes. Are we going to be discouraged when this is the case? No, it's our mission. It's our commission from the Lord is to go on and shine it. Shine it, shine it. Send the light. Send the blessed light from shore to shore. That's what we are given to do. And may the Lord help us to remember that. He says, for we preach not ourselves, verse number 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord. See, it's not about Jim Duke or any other minister. You hear a minister teaching and preaching about himself, beware. But we preach Christ, not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, listen, your servants for Jesus' sake. He says, understand how it is with the apostles. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that the Lord Jesus gave that we might have salvation, that we might have life. He died that we might live. He suffered and paid for our sins that we might be set free. Everything that we needed, Christ did. And you know what? The apostles were used of the Lord in that same way to give for the sake of the elect, for the sake of the saints. They were used up in the ministry of the Lord that the people of God would be touched and engaged and the gospel brought into them. Their ministry is still at hand today, is it not? And praise God for it. That our Lord didn't count his life dear, but gave it for us. And then as those saints, our brethren, the apostles, they didn't count their lives dear either. But they gave their lives for the sake of the Lord and the calling that he has for us. He said, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. Don't follow me, but follow the Lord. He says, and ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. I'm taking of my time, another way to say it, this is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul, I'm taking of my time and taking of my life and taking of my provision to engage you about these things. I think the Apostle Paul was most likely a very brilliant man and could have spent his time in other things that would be more appealing to self. But you know what? Rather than pursuing a career in something, he was called of the Lord to the ministry, and he gave himself to that ministry for what? For the benefit of others. For the sinner that's without Christ, that he might hear the gospel and be saved. For those saints that maybe had become wayward or hadn't learned some things that they needed to learn, and or the church that had become going out, he extended himself. He extended himself and offered himself even to be hurt, that they might be reached and that they might be helped and that they might be drawn to the right way. He makes the appeal, does he not, in these epistles? He says to them, he says, I'm an ambassador of the Lord, and we are indeed ambassadors. And he says to all, be reconciled to God. That's his desire, is that there be that sweet fellowship. He also says in another place, he says, what's my reward and my crown? My reward and my crown is you. standing before the Lord, saved, praising and glorifying God. You are my reward, being there. He rejoices in the salvation of souls and the saving of lives and the saving of souls. He says, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. He said, I'm here serving. I'm here serving my Lord, our Lord, and I'm here serving you in the things that you need. Every minister should have that heart and that desire and that pursuit. That's the reason I'm here as pastor. I'm not here, and you take care of me, and well, you should. The Lord has ordained it that ministers be provided for out of the ministry. But I'm here to minister to you. I'm here to be an example to you. I'm here to be an evangelist to others round about. I'm here to be used up for the sake of the Lord's ministry. Now, in the way of our thinking, the way of our culture, that's counter to that. Because our culture and our thinking and our way is just us, me, me, me. But you know what this calling of the Lord is? And I'm not looking for you to pour accolades towards me. But this is the example that we know. I'm here. You're here. We have this ministry that we're called to do. And that's what I'm called to do. You are called to nurture one another too. But as a pastor, the pattern of our Lord and the pattern of the apostles is that a man's life be used up for the ministry that the Lord has called him into. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but we preach rather Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a touch upon creation in there. Remember, there was nothing. It was void and dark. And the Lord said, let there be light. You know, that's what the Lord's done for us. He's shown light. He has shown the light unto us in Christ Jesus. Salvation, full and free. He's brought us from darkness unto light. He's brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's commanded these things. My ministry and my calling I have from Him. But it's accomplished here with you. And the Lord has blessed us together in that. And that this shining, and we talked about that in recent times, we have no light of our own. We don't have light of our own. But you know what? As the children of God, we're reflectors of our Lord. Just like the angels are. Reflectors of our Lord. Our Lord has caused this shining. The light to shine out of darkness. He shined in our hearts, praise God, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Do you know about the glory of God? I tell you what, we've seen again in recent times, it'd do us well to want to see the glory of God. Moses wanted to see the glory of God, didn't he? And I tell you what, it was a blessing to him. It was a blessing to him. He said, well, I want your presence. I want to see your glory. Said, don't take us, if you don't go with us, we don't want to leave. I don't want to leave this place. Your presence. Said, I want to see your glory. Said, you can't see my glory and live. Said, what I'll do, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock, and as I pass by, and the Lord passed by, declaring all of his glory, and he took his hand away so he could see the Lord's hinder parts. And Moses shone. Remember that? And had to wear that veil because the children of Israel were so afraid at the glory that he reflected of the Lord, how that so affected him. We shine for our Lord. Our Lord has shined within us to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Don't you want to see him? Don't you want to? We sang about that recently, didn't we? Want to see his face? Want to see his glory? Jesus longs for us to be with him and see his glory. And I tell you what, it would be a blessed thing. For God, who commanded the light shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Not only the physical darkness has he driven away by His presence and by in the effects of His creation. But He's also done in these spiritual things. In the spiritual realm, He shined the light in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to see His face. We see Him and know Him by faith. I want to see Him with these eyes, or with some eyes that He gives us, don't you? Verse number 7. We have this treasure, and indeed it is. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We wouldn't have done it this way. This old man, this old flesh, it's where I am. There's no other part of me anywhere else. There's not a part of me over there at the house. I'm all right here. So I've got this old man that is sinful. We've got this old mind that's all part of that. But yet within this is a soul that's saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord would even condescend to have a part of such. But He has. Praise be to His name. A treasure in earthen vessels. You can't put a price tag on it. All the wealth of the world cannot be compared to the treasure that we have being saved by our Lord. Having fellowship with our God and our Creator, having His Word and the working of the Holy Spirit and the Savior, the Son, becoming a man and giving Himself for us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, we've got the greatest thing that there is to have. Shouldn't we want to tell about it? Shouldn't we want to tell about it? But we have this treasure, He says, in earthen vessels. See, that the excellency of the power of God, if you will, that it may be known that it's Him and not us. That's a reason that I don't preach me. Following me and doing anything by Jim Duke's power will get you nowhere. But preaching Christ and preaching Him and salvation by Him, fellowship with Him, the directive, the command, the law, the will of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, in Him there is future, there's life, there's help, there's blessing. Life indeed. He speaks here in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He says the flesh wants to quit. But the call of the Lord and the working of the Lord in us does not allow it to be. He gives these contrasts. He says, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I've never been shipwrecked. Our brother's been shipwrecked several times. I've never been beaten for the cause of Christ. I've not shed one drop of blood for the sake of the Lord. Our brother was beat several times. 40 stripes save one, left for dead. A good example to us, is he not? Indeed. We're troubled on every side, suffering hunger, nakedness, peril, that of highwaymen with all the traveling that he did, yet not distressed, we're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, never by the Lord, might be forsaken of all men. You think about Brother Stephen. I was thinking about him. And as he's there, it says in chapter 6 there that he made this appeal to the leadership, to his countrymen, and they beheld him as if they'd seen the face of an angel. He was given the power of the Lord. He was given the power of the Lord to speak for the Lord, to be a witness. Brother Stephen, he didn't think that he was forsaken. Oh, he was forsaken of his countrymen, but he knew he wasn't forsaken of the Lord, didn't he? persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that's counter to our culture, isn't it? That's against our culture. Bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Dying to self. Again, the using up of the life for the sake of the calling of the Lord. Lord, help. We've got blessings in our lifetime and in our country, and we need to praise our Lord and continue to thank our Lord for those things. And may we use them for the Lord's honor and glory, for the furtherance of His kingdom. But may we always remember that we're not due those things. And if our Lord would take those things away, may we continue on. May we continue on in the same faith and fellowship and witness for our Lord. I tell you what, it's easy to say, but may the Lord help us in that. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. See, brothers and sisters, when you and I were baptized, we made a public declaration that we died to self. We died to the world. We died to sin, and we're alive in Christ. That's what that's talking about. That those symbols, those tokens, Brother Stephen touched on this morning. So many that are in the Scripture. That's what baptism is. We quit on us, and we go forward in Christ. He died for us, and we died with Him. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. Forgetting about this old man and this flesh and living for the Lord. Not seeking the things of this world first, but seeking our Lord's righteousness and His kingdom, as He tells us on the Sermon on the Mount. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, shown forth in our body. How is it that you keep on going? Paul would be asked of him, how is it that you keep on? For Christ's sake? Because of Christ? Paul, don't go down, though, the brethren at Miletus. Don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you there. He said, I've got to go. I've got to go. I'm called to go. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Just like our Lord. Just like our Lord. So then death, verse 12, worketh in us, but life in you. He said, my body, my mortal life is being used up. You saints at Corinth, and other saints in Asia Minor and even beyond in Italy, as he wrote to them at Rome, and some speculate that maybe Paul had made a journey early in the time of his ministry to Spain. I don't know if that's the case or not. But he says, look what happens. My life is used up to reach sinners without Christ. And the Lord takes that ministry, takes that work, and gives them life by His power and by His gospel and by the gospel being proclaimed. The seed of the Lord, the seed of the Word being spread abroad. I am used up, but there's life in you. I am used up to minister unto you, Church at Corinth. I am used of the Lord to pray for you and to minister unto you and to write unto you and to be with you for 18 months when I was first there. I am used up for the sake of the Lord that you might live. That you might live in salvation by the salvation of the Lord, and that you might live for the Lord in the furtherance of His ministry there. Always bearing about, verse 10, in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Life in you. We're going to stop right there for this afternoon and take a look further. There's, in these final verses, we see more about the connection to the apostles. And may the Lord help us that we understand. May the Lord help his ministers understand the calling that they have. You know, there are those that think that pastors are called to be princes. And they're not. Touch not the Lord's anointed is a passage that's been used regarding the ministers of the Lord. I'll tell you what, when I crack open the New Testament scriptures, the Lord tells me that his people are the anointed. There's a spirit and an understanding that's followed and has been followed by some ministers that the sheep are to be shorn for their own sakes. And that's not so. That's not so. We all stand before the Lord, and we all are called to be obedient to Him and the calling that we have from Him. We are responsible for no more than what the Lord has given unto us. But we are responsible for that. And may we follow our Lord in it.